Now, as I said, tonight it is a kind of a drama-focused night, and we have a Red Letter Day in Waterford Theatre coming up, and I'm delighted to welcome, well, I'm a fanboy of this man. I've been a huge admirer for years of Mr. Jim Nolan, and he is here along with Garrett Lombard. Gentlemen, you are very welcome to studio.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Good to be back.
Now, Jim, you've heard me say it so many times, like, Jim Nolan plays our Red Letter Days, as far as I'm concerned anyway, and as far as a lot of Waterford people are concerned. Castel Gandolfo?
Yeah, if I had my way again, we'd call it, I'll explain later why we'd call it The Streets of Laredo. Yeah. It's a tricky old title, and it's an unusual one for me, like Moonshine, The Salvage Shop, The Red Iron.
It's an Italian nice house, isn't it? The Castel Gandolfo.
Yeah, it's actually 25 kilometres from Rome. It's a town, and it's or was the location of the Pope's summer residence. And I remember the very first time I spoke to someone out in Kilmac and asked them, they were saying, you have a new play, and I said, Jen, they said, what's it called? And I said, Castel Gandolfo. It's about the Pope. So I've been trying to explain that away ever since. Castel Gandolfo is actually, the play is set in Waterford, the top of the town, in a sort of decaying house. And the house is almost like a character in the play. There's a lot at stake in relation to the house. But it's owned by, the present owner is played by Carrie, is her of Italian, American, Irish descent. An Italian mother and an Irish father. And she's now back living in this house and has acquired it by nefarious means.
Right.
She called it after her grandparents' place. They came over from Castel Gandolfo to live in New York, and that's where she was begotten. And so she comes and she christens the house. The house has fallen down, but the title is the best part of it. I'd say the nameplate is Castel Gandolfo. So that's the name of the house.
We're not back as far as Gods Are Angry territory, are we? It's more recent.
It's not a COVID play, but it is set in 2020. And there are I remember, again, walking the streets of Kilmac during COVID and people saying to me, you'll get some great play out of this. Yeah. And I said, would you go and see it? Because I don't want to write it.
Yeah.
So the play is actually set during that time. And as Garrett will explain in a minute, his character is stymied by COVID. He has a career, which he'll tell you about. And he's off the road at the moment. So it's set during that time, but it ain't a COVID play.
Okay.
I hasten to add.
Yeah.
But you're most at home, aren't you, when you're writing about Waterford?
I mean, it's great.
The Red Iron, Gods Are Angry now. And this one's
A lot of the time in recent years, plays were set in small towns and I had fictional names on them. But the Red Iron, like, as you know, when 30, 40 years ago, the Gods Are Angry was our first Red Kettle play set in Waterford. And then I hide behind fictional towns a lot of the time. Mm. But with the Red Iron, we were back in town, and it's lovely just to have them set actually here, rather than trying to hide the fact that they're set here, you know.
Now, Garrett, anyone who sees the little social video will recognise your face. Do we mention that little programme you're in?
I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but sure, we might as well get it out of the way.
Pure Mule or something.
Something to that effect,
Of course, Scobie from Pure Mule, who doesn't know that? Is this your first time actually in a play in Waterford? I think it is.
I have done plays in Waterford before, but it's the first time doing a Waterford play So it's a bit of a difference. And first time rehearsing and opening a play down here. So very happy to be a part of it. Been a fan of Jim's for a long time. So when this came along, it wasn't much of a question for me whether I do it or not.
The man's legend reaches far beyond the town.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I would have known him through the circles over the years. I would have seen many of the play Salvage Shop and Moonshine particularly, I remember very well. So once this came through and the time was right and the part was right, so I was very happy to be asked to do it.
Okay, so how much can you tell us without going into spoiler territory about the characters and the plot?
I suppose I'll talk about my character. He's the son of Carrie, who owns the house, and him and his sister Rose have been living there since they were teenagers, and he has they're now in their late 30s, early 40s, and Tony, the character I play, has a young daughter called Stella, who's just in Trinity College. She's just turned 21. So it's the three of them that have been living in the house fairly solidly. And then, unfortunately, their father has become very ill in the last week or two. And so the mother, who has been separated from the father for 25 years, comes back. And, well, from there, the drama begins, really. Okay. Suppose, you know.
Go chickens come home to roost. Skeletons come tumbling out of the cupboard. All that. And the ghosts come down from the rafters.
That's it.
In that order.
And I see from the publicity that you're doing, or at least the blurb, it happens in a very short period of time. It's over a weekend, is it?
The setting of the play. Yeah, over 2 days, I think it is. The first act set in the summer of 2020 and the second act 2 days later.
2 days later.
Yeah.
How difficult is it? I always wonder about this. You know, when you're confronted with a new play for the first time, you have nothing to gauge it on, no previous performances. Is it difficult to interpret that?
In many ways, it's easier. It's more freeing because you don't have the weight of previous productions on top of it. Or if oftentimes you can be playing a part that is more famous than the play because of someone famous who played it beforehand. Mm. And so people have a sort of preconception of what that performance should or should not be like. But with a new play, there are many difficulties, but there are also much more possibilities creatively. So as an actor, it's actually much more exciting to go into something that's new and fresh. And you get to bring something of yourself to the character because you're creating it in the room with the writer and the director and the cast. So for me, that's a much more exciting process, really.
Here's another exciting one. What is it like being in the room with the playwright?
Oh, God,
the clean version.
Well, if between himself and the director, I know. It's great. It's very exciting. And it's, like I say, it's very much an organic sort of experience. It's one that we're figuring out together. And no one necessarily has the right answer. There's no authoritarian in the room, which is very freeing as an actor. So it's been a very pleasant and very creative process so far, you know.
Yeah,
very rewarding.
How do you find the gym? Because naturally your inclination is to go and jump in on something, would it?
Really, I'll tell you what it is. The rehearsal room for me is where the plays get made. A writer brings in the raw material and the director is part of it's the next step in it where, you know, I give a play to, as it happens in this case, Ben Barnes, and we do some work on the text. But then when it meets the actors, it's like once it's spoken and it's moving, then it's changing because inevitably actors are bringing not their stamp, but just they're bringing themselves to the play. Like the thing that like Garrett out of politeness might have said what he just said. But it's actually a truthful description of this rehearsal room, that it is a collaboration. And it's the bit that, it's the reason I don't write poems or books or, do you know what I'm saying?
I do know. Yeah.
I love that part of it.
Yeah.
And it's the particular joy as a writer is that you're not always, because it can be tense, some directors are inclined to say, well, thank you for that, take the script and off you go and we'll see you.
I
love being and work very hard at being allowed to be in the rehearsal room, to be part of that collaboration, you know. And like hand on heart, this has been really rich. We're halfway through the rehearsal process. And as I said, the thing I adore is the making of it together. And at the heart of that is the actor, the director, the stage manager and the writer. As I said, it's great to see it being made and to be part of it coming together, you know.
We'll talk about the actors now because apart from characters, a couple of familiar faces as well. Carrie Crowley is probably the first time she's been in one of your plays.
It is. It is indeed.
Yeah,
that hadn't occurred to me. I had worked with Carrie before, but many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a particular joy that this one happens to be the one that has her coming back. Ben and I asked her to read the play and she was back within hours and then managed to convince her agent who was saying, okay, we know you love it, Carrie, but that's not where the money is. Garrett will tell you, you'd make more doing a bit of telly or a movie in a few days than you would coming down here. So just like with Garrett, we're lucky and glad to have them. And it's a particular pleasure just because she hasn't worked here.
Yeah,
I think she did a Beckett thing with Ben,
a few summers ago, a decade ago, I think.
And Mickey Power, of course, is the other local boy, Michael Power, give him his full
time. He's not getting posh, is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very demanding. It's great. So it's lovely to have those, the local heads in. And then Garrett is with us, and Elishka Lane, who's from Wexford. I did Happy Birthday, Dear Alice, with Four Rivers, with her, and with Sarah Madigan, who did Happy Birthday with me as well. She lives in London and has done a lot of work over there. We have, I'll tell you what this writer has, is no excuses.
Okay.
We have, I'm out of excuse. You know the way you can say, well, it would have gone, if only. We have a great team.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to be able to say that 2 weeks in and just beginning the third week, that whatever happens, this play will stand up because we're a good team.
Yeah.
Whatever people make of it is another matter. And the jury stays out on that one.
That's actually refreshing to hear.
But it's actually easily spoken.
Yeah.
If it wasn't true, you know, you can tell.
Big time.
It's an honest endeavour. Everybody's looking for the right result and everybody's been very truthful in the rehearsal room. And there are good debates and tensions around the text, around how the lads are doing it. But everybody's looking for the right thing.
Mm.
And the great thing about it is it's a good room to work in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means the result will be an honest one. And then people will judge it as they see fit, you know. What Gardas is far too modest to tell you about is that in addition to his so-called straight acting, this isn't quite the musical theatre, but we do have a couple of songs in it.
Oh.
A couple of numbers going on, all right, yeah. Yeah. on his career front, Tony, the character I play, also moonlights as a one-man Beatles tribute band.
A one-man Beatles tribute?
One-man Beatles tribute band, yeah.
It's originally a four-man Beatles tribute band.
Yeah, but it's whittled down to one. He's the first and only in Ireland. So he likes to gig, but he's been put on the back burner because they're in the middle of COVID at the moment.
Right.
But he does get an opportunity in the play to show off his skills or lack thereof.
That's Jim Nolan hanging around with us lovies too much. We're rubbing off on him now. He's putting music into his place.
It's a great crack to listen to. Just as a punter sitting out in the audience, you know, I'm the writer, but to actually watch it, Garrett does a Beatles number at one point. I don't think we're giving that in the way there.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, if we didn't have an actor who could sing, then you'd be probably having to mime it, record it and mime it and so forth.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful. Like in this one-man Beatles tribute band, like he would have been playing in the real world in the pubs around Waterford.
Yes.
He's not a Royal Albert Hall man. But to see that on the stage, just even at the rehearsal end of it, it's real good fun to watch. And it gives the play a lift too. So it's one of the incidental pleasures.
Now, Garrett and Jim are still here with me. And lads, just to get back to the show, we must be approaching Tech Week now at this stage. As we, in the amateur theatre world, we might get Tech Day. We might get a day to tech a show and a dress if we're lucky. But is it as bad as that? We kind of dread Tech Week or Tech Day in the amateur world because it's quite a long and tedious day. I'm wondering, is it the same as that in the professional world? Like, for example, do you have to worry about move one space, one centimetre to the left so that light catches you and all that kind of stuff? Probably the same, is it?
It's not quite as bad as that. No, I don't think. I think we're in the start of week three of rehearsal, so we're very much halfway on the rehearsal period. By the end of week four, you'd be looking towards more technical side of things, and certainly in the start of week five, we'll be showing the show at the end of week five, sort of say. So we'll have that first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to tech.
Mm.
So it's not a particularly heavy play technically anyway. Most of the hard work is really done in the rehearsal room and will be done by the movement of the actors, which will be figured out in the rehearsal process.
Makes life easier.
So
it
does make life easier. Now, I mean, I'm saying that now in hoping that everything will go swimmingly. We do have a car in the play, which is a rather large spoilers, technical piece.
Well, it's actually in the blurb.
Car is on the
vintage car.
On the poster, so no
and
spoilers.
There were days when you'd be kind of going, maybe it should have been a Honda 50.
You know what's lovely, Jim, just listening to you, still seem as excited. You know, how many plays down 15, 16 or whatever, as you would have been way back when.
Thank you. That's lovely of you to say. Mm. But it's really true. The older you get, like Garrett will tell you this as an actor, every play is the first play.
Yeah.
Every time you do it is the first time. So there's that. But for me, the older I get, the more I am determined to enjoy what's there to be enjoyed. Mm. At the age I am, there'll only be so many more of them. So I, as I said, the rehearsal room, I don't get excited about audience. I never got terribly excited about writing it, but I do adore the just making the thing with actors and with the director and the other team, you know. Long may that last.
Now, unfortunately, we have to do the commercial stuff, don't we?
We certainly do.
Because although I think that a Jim Nolan play in Waterford will always be guaranteed a certain audience already, and probably many people listening probably have their tickets, but you have a lot of nights to sell, don't you?
Yeah.
You're doing a preview.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention that there was some kind of, I don't know what happened, but there was a little bit of uncertainty about on the Gartel Lane website about the preview sales or about being able to buy tickets for the preview. We managed to fix that today. And so there is a preview, just one, on Thursday, the 3rd of October. Okay. And then there's an opening night on the 4th, and then it runs until the 19th of October.
Well, your opening night is sold out. I don't know if you know that. I'm delighted
to
tell you. It's great.
Yeah, and the weekends are all but sold out as well, which we're delighted about. So hopefully the sales then over the next couple of weeks will push back into the weeknights. It's booking really well. We're delighted with that, but we've plenty of tickets to sell.
And there's plenty of performances. You're opening on the 4th of October, Friday 4th of October, running till Saturday 19th. How dare you? You're taking Sundays off. What's going on?
I know. That's those equity actors.
The actors. Actors are playing.
We need a rest. You know yourself. It's very stressful.
You look stressed.
Get the voice ready for the next week, you know.
Now, did I hear somewhere that you are doing a book launch?
You probably heard it from me.
Yeah. Okay, did I hear from you, Jim, blatantly telling me you're doing a book launch?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, one of the... Peter Fallon at Gallery Press, he's a poetry publisher and he's been publishing through Gallery for the last 50 years, but he has a small list of playwrights that he also publishes. Yeah. And many years ago, when we did Moonshine, Ben Barnes, who directed that, sent Peter a copy of the script. I wouldn't have dared. And Peter came back and said he wanted to publish it. And he's done 7 or 8 of the plays since. And so there'll be a book launch, which is just the publication of the play script, on the 11th of October at the Book Centre. And that's at 6 o'clock in the Book Centre. And it would be great if everybody could come along to that. They're a record of the production. Yeah. And like the nature of theatre, it's ephemeral. It comes and it passes and it's gone. But the publication ensures, or at least it raises, the prospect of a future life. I'm delighted to be able to say that 30 years on, my ESB bills are covered by, not always, but plays like The Salvage Shop or Moonshine and a couple more of them. And they're still produced, and it's because they're in print. So it's really important to have that, and I'm very grateful for it. So yes, the 11th of October.
Will we have the chance to get Jim Nolan's signature on one of the books?
I think that is a distinct possibility.
But only if you buy a book.
I'm telling you. Oh yes. God almighty, I'm an awful salesman, aren't I?
So unlike the Red Iron, Jim, this one is being produced by a theatre company for you. I know you did a lot of work on your last play yourself, but this is Four Rivers, isn't it?
Yeah. And just going back briefly to the Red Iron, Pádraig Ó Griffa and Michael Grant, who mostly spend their time with the Bilberry Goats, I had this play. I didn't have a way of producing it. I don't send the plays away.
Yeah.
I've never done that, and I don't know why, but I approached the boys, and I was particularly keen from the background that they came from, you know, the musical theatre, the pantomime, and then the Bilberry Goats, that was the audience I was looking for with the Red Iron.
Yeah.
And so I went to the boys, they read it, took it on, and did a fantastic job. When I wrote this one, there was something about the amount of money that the lads had to raise just to produce the play.
Yeah.
It seemed to me a big mountain. And at the same time, I was aware of a wonderful new company called Four Rivers, which is a theatre company for the Southeast, based in Wexford, but working out of Waterford, Kilkenny, Carlow and so forth. And Ben, with whom I had worked for a long time, and he hadn't directed any of my plays for a few years. And I was keen just to go open that door again. And I asked Ben to read it, and he offered to produce it. And so that's the story on it. But I want to issue a public warning here to Pádraig and Michael that I'll be back. It was a great buzz.
Yeah.
And we got a great result out of that. But this time it's Four Rivers, and I'm, you know, very glad that they're producing the play. Yeah,
brilliant. Well, Gareth, Jim, we're going to wish you the best of luck. As
thank you,
always, a red letter day. I keep saying that, but it genuinely is. And please do go down and grab tickets for this, because you know what's going to happen the week after it's over. I never got to see that.
Yeah,
there's tickets there now, so grab them while you can. GareThLane.ie, and they look after you. Jim, Gareth, thanks a million.
Thanks, Wayne. Thank you so much.